Samsung. Das haben. Today we have our guest speaker back with us today, Pastor Sim KT. Residents here will be very familiar with Lee's teaching, and we really enjoy having him back. To give those who are not familiar with who he is, he writes really well after. Some of the work grow up. The Discovery series on other subjects. It's the two books. Okay. Thank you for having me back again. This year, we're going to look at life. See, the Bible is and how important people with the same challenges, similar experience, failures, successes, and suffering as one of us face today. As early as Genesis 3, you read about how Adam and Eve do not keep one simple instruction from God, right? Falling sin, not the whole humanity until death. Moses could not control his temper when he was told to speak to the rock and respect the rock instead. Joseph, who was betrayed by his own brother, had to struggle with forgiveness. Job, who was so much in pain, even though he trusted God. David and his sexual lust, which led him to make adultery, and Peter, and which we'll be looking for the session that we have to respect Jesus. Experiences like this are the challenges that we face. And learning from Bible people helps us overcome and be victorious. Question that I want to start with is why does the Bible record so many stories about these people? How will knowing their stories help us today? Number one, Bible stories are not K-dramas for entertainment. I think many of you love K-dramas, but they are not to entertain us. They are not even to inform us. Rather, scriptures say that Bible stories are for our instruction, encouragement, education. The Apostle Paul says that these stories are for our benefit. They are examples to warn us to live godly lives. These things happen as we learn to pursue. We have to pray evil things. Indeed, we will not pray evil things to last. Even after our birth, human, not divine. Our worship idols and some of them do. In verse 11, these things happen to them as examples for us, and they are written down to warn us, those who live in the context. We are living from the end. So it's not just encouragement, it's also warnings, limits about how we live our life, that certain experiences we shouldn't enter into it because these Bible characters enter into it with dire consequences. These stories are encouraging for us, not just to avoid sin, but also encouraging for us to hope and trust in God. Paul in Romans 15, Paul says, this thing, such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us, and scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. And so clearly, you find that these Bible stories were written for people in the end of the age, for people in the sea. And we do well to know these stories, to learn, to see them as examples, to warn us and to encourage us to live holy lives, to encourage us to change and do. You see, the most mentioned person in the Gospels is actually Jesus Christ. Rightly so, because this is a good news about him. But next to Jesus, Peter is the second most mentioned person. Next to Jesus, Peter is the second most mentioned person in the Gospel. No disciple speaks so often and speaks so much as Peter. Peter himself spoke, Jesus himself spoke to Peter more times than any other person. So it's a two-way communication. That here we see Peter speaking a lot to Jesus and Jesus speaking a lot to Peter. No disciple is commended and yet at the same time more scolded by Jesus. Okay? You speak a lot, you're still gonna scolding him. Okay? That's where I think Proverbs tells us something twice to make silent. And no disciple actually dare to rebuke Jesus. Just like Peter. And of course, when Peter rebuked Jesus, he was for the wrong reason. He was not doing the right thing. In our Bible study this year, I'll be here for the next today and the next 2 Sundays. So you can't get it on me just yet. And then in August, I'll come and phone you again. Okay? And I've come up with a series, six sermons called The Life of Peter Throughout the I decided to describe him as what the Bible says. That describes Peter as look at his life in the gospel. And that's what we are. Look at our own life. You know, we know very little about Peter. But we know very little about the early life of Peter. Okay? We know that he's the son of man called John or Jonah in Hebrew. And before he met Jesus, he is called Simon or Simeon in Hebrew. Meeting Jesus for the first time, if you look in at this in a short while, Jesus gave Simon a new name. Jesus named him Peter, which we all know that the Greek means rock. And Peter was a fisherman by profession. And he's quite well to do because he owned a fishing business together with two other partners in Toron, the son of the Lady. Peter was originally from the town of Bethsaida. And if you look at the Sea of Galilee as an inverted pear, you know what an inverted pear looks like? If you picture the shape of a pear, you invert it, that's the shape of the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And Bethsaida is actually at 1 o'clock of that pear. And he was originally from the town of Bethsaida, the fishing town, but he subsequently moved from to a place called Capernaum, which is actually 11 o'clock of the plan. And so, currently, was it 1 o'clock, we need to go to Capernaum at 7 o'clock. And Jesus used Peter's house as a base for his ministry. So, when Jesus was ministering in the northern province of Galilee, Peter's house was where Jesus stayed and Jesus used as a big purpose in the Galilean ministry. And Luke chapter 4 verse 40 tells us that he actually opened the house for It's most what Jesus could teach and do ministry. In many sense, Peter was the first one to the first church with first church concept of the kingdom. That Jesus used the first one And Peter was very definitely but we're not full of his children. One of the first miracles Peter experienced with Jesus was a personal one. His mother-in-law was sick with high fever, and Jesus healed his mother-in-law. That we read before, verse 8. And Paul suggests to us that Peter's wife accompanied him in his ministry trips. So when Peter was going on to various places, the tips that we share in the early days of the text, it would be apparent that actually Peter brought the What we need to take note of is that in all the listing of the church apostles of the 12 disciples, Peter is always listed first. Is with specific design, telling us that he is the leader of the church. And after Pentecost, Peter became the lead apostle together with James, the half-brother of Jesus, his own church. Peter was the key evangelist who opened the way to peace in terms of people who were turning from the We all know Paul has been with purpose, but we forget that he was given first that much earlier that all this was eventually factored in when we look at Matthew 16 and Jesus with people accused of being a demon. Simon is a man very much like but one who is not perfect. Who is perfect? I think Peter thought that he was perfect. Yeah. Until the day that night happened in He's impulsive, really impulsive, but many of us, and many of us are quick to speak with them. He fought with the other guys, disciples, and many of us, we fight with our fellow tech leaders, the position of power and He's boastful, he's full of himself. All in all I can say is that Peter is a simple man. But because of the transforming power of Jesus, he was changed from a flawed man to a faithful person. And that is the kind of transformation that we want to see in the Mass. That despite all our flaws, our idiosyncrasies, our sinful nature, our sinful behavior and attitudes, we have got to become Lost, it lost. Those are people. Wrong. People sometimes thank you, but the person who set apart the people of just so you want to learn from Now, We need to know that Jesus actually taught Peter to pray the ministry more than one time. I want to suggest to you that scriptures present that Jesus taught Peter five times. And each of the four, Jesus upped the demands, demanding greater and higher commitment from Peter. And that again is for us our journey. We are taught to be a Christian. Jesus called us You want to be serious about users. Then some of us, that's our journey. And you will see this in the life of Peter, okay? That each time there is a storm to Peter, Jesus demands one. Because this morning we want to look at the first three calls of Peter, his conversion, his call to discipleship, and his call to full-time Christian ministry. And we will look at the fourth and the fifth call in the verse when we look at Peter again after his call. In the story, two evangelists. We first look at Peter's first call. We look at John chapter 1, verse 35. Now, what we need to know is that in John chapter 1, where Jesus called, when Peter became a believer, he was taking place of the place called Bethany on the other side. John was the that's John 1:8. And that gives us the locality of where this is happening. Okay. John was baptizing in a city, in a town called Bethany. There are two towns in called Bethany at the time. The other one is very near Jerusalem. This is the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay. But there is another Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. And that is Bethany. Peter had a younger brother called Andrew. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, and when told that Jesus is the Lamb of God, John chapter 1, verse 26, Andrew believed and followed Jesus. So Andrew was one of the very early disciples of John who switched allegiance to the Messiah. And what happened to Andrew was this, that he immediately evangelized Peter. Because in 1 John 1, 41, we read that the first thing that Peter that Andrew did was to find his brother, tell him they found the Messiah. And he brought him Jesus. So Andrew was the brother who brought Peter faith Jesus. Meeting Jesus for the first time. Andrew brought Peter to meet Jesus. People look at him, Jesus took a picture and give him a dream. Give Simon a dream. In verse, chapter 1, verse 42, Jesus said, you have Simon from the throne of God, and it will be called Cyrus, which is translated Peter. You are called Cyrus. Peter is a big seven to this. Now, you and I need to understand. When we read scriptures, when we read the narratives, and when we come across the name change, in scripture, name change often means that God is going to do some good in the person's life. Abraham to Abraham, Sarai to Sarai, right? Okay, so when you look at Isaac to Israel, or is it Jacob to Israel? Sorry, Jacob to Israel, wrong person, Jacob to Israel. So when there is a name change, you and I need to pay attention because God is going to do some good things. And therefore, Simon's name change is significant because Simon means the obedient one, the one who hears. That's what Simon means. The one who hears or the one who obeys. Peter means rock. And if you put them together, it says that Simon Peter is the one who hears. Isn't that something that we aspire to live for in this year? To hear God, speak to us in His word, and then we hear. Simon Peter, if you mean to me, if you are looking for a Christian leader, then you can ask for God to be here. Who's really God to be here? God is a good God. So now, as we come to verse 9, He's not a really good investor. But you need to notice is that although he's a banker, he's still working his job as a fisherman. Yet, Peter was busy fishing when Jesus called him a second time. Return to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 onwards, which the traveler passage. And he read in Matthew 4:18 that as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, so the location has changed. The planet from definitely on the other side of the Jordan to the Sea of Galilee, among the province of Galilee. Now Peter has set his own base. He is from the town of Bethsaida, and now he probably has set his new base and moved to Capernaum. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw the two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew, Matthew 4:18. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you to fish for people. At once they left the nets. And so this looks at the second story. Okay. Different from the fall in first John, right in John, because John was in a different position. Now it's by the shore of the sea of Galilee, where Peter, having believed in Jesus Christ, is still a Christian fisherman. He's still fishing. And Jesus saw him Peter heard Jesus cry. We would think that this is all become Christian ministry, right? He learned his not right. Not quite. But I'm sickness to you, not quite. The gospel will take the third call, which is recorded for us in Luke. And this is where we want to look at. Now, you need to know that the call in Matthew 4 is different from the call in Luke 5. Because if you have a harmony, if you have a gospel or harmony of the gospel with God, okay, you will find that the details are not quite the same. In Matthew 4, Andrew and Peter were busy fishing. They were busy fishing. They were in the midst of fishing when Jesus came to them. And there was no crowd when they were fishing in Matthew 4. But in Luke chapter 5, they actually had gone out to fish the whole night, and they had again returned to shore, but they had caught nothing. And they were actually keeping their nets. And Jesus, all of the crowd, they were in Jesus. Jesus was in the last crowd. Coming to hear Jesus preach. And so I want to suggest to you, okay, for your further study, that in Matthew 4, Jesus called Peter to discipleship, which Peter responded. He still continued his chain as many of your professional engineer, your professional teacher, but you know, certain officer, and you want to follow Jesus. You have your own profession. In Luke chapter 5, then, Peter is now being challenged upwards. I full-time Christian ministry. Full-time Christian ministry. The first call in John chapter 1 was a call for Peter to be a believer. The second call was for Peter to be a committed disciple, but yet retaining his profession as a fisherman. And the third call, Peter is now asked to be a committed disciple. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the lake of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to him. So Peter, Jesus is teaching. Jesus is not alone. He had a large crowd who were listening to him. He saw that the waters were two boats left there by the fishermen. They were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put up the litter from the shore, then he sat down and took the boat from the boat. Now, Jesus was being pushed towards the edge of the water. The shark had a and Jesus, I don't know where to go. If he goes in the water, he gets wet, right? But Jesus, what Jesus did was that he asked to use Peter's boat so that he can go up to the sea for people to go back to him. What is happening is that Jesus is using Peter's boat going to do this. Let me explain the symbolism here. That boat was a symbol of Peter's profession. That's his job. The boat represents his profession as a fisherman, a professional fisherman. His job. And Jesus is showing us that whatever profession you are in, our place of work is a pulpit, a platform for us to tell. That's the symbolism of the situation. That your job, your workplace, becomes a pulpit, which is the place of the pulpit. In verse 4, Jesus tells Peter how to fish. I wouldn't want to venture to tell you how to do that, but if you are a professional, a person, I if I think you can say, hey, you've got to do this, because of the people's community. When you finish the thing, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets and catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but we finish. Because he says that I will let down the nets. Now, Jesus is now known as a rabbi, a teacher, a religious leader, a teacher of religious teacher of the Jewish people. And he does, he definitely knows something about teaching. At best, he knows something about carpentry because that's what Joseph was. And he must have learned the trade from the father. Okay? So Jesus, a carpenter, is telling a professional fisherman how to fish. Okay? I venture you to, if you are engineer, I venture you to tell how to do it. Okay? If I am Peter, probably skeptical and I would be insulted. That you who know nothing is telling me how to fish. And I'm a seasoned fisherman. I own a fishing business for goodness sake. I mean, fishing all the time. Jesus is a contender of faith, not the people knows fishing. If you look at what Jesus tells people to do, they are talking about. So we need to understand fishing trade in the Sea of Galilee. First, in the night, when it is night, the fish will swim near the top of the net. And that's the reason why the fishermen always go out to fish in the night. Because in the night, it's clear, the fish will swim on top near the surface of the sea, of the water. And so, all fishermen in the Sea of Galilee, most of them will go to fish in the night. That's where the school of fish will come up. Schooler, that's the habit of the fish. Don't ask me why they do that. Okay. Secondly, this is already daytime. They had finished one night fishing and they caught nothing. It was a futile journey out for the whole night. And this is daytime. They had already come back to shore and they were actually keeping in the nets. When the sun comes out, the fish will migrate deeper into the lake. So at daytime, the fish will be at the bottom of the lake. And the fish will be at the place where the fishing was. They have just finished trying to fish the whole night. There is simply no fish at this location. Okay? If you have been fishing and you go to without getting the fish, you can chop your seat there and I think there in you can sit there for 7 hours and you know fish is biting, you know that you are one fish. And that's exactly what you can fish online. There is definitely no fish there. And it is not like me now that the sun the thing is that you must move your and so if I'm people obviously what you're doing what is really asking me to do is come to where you can find but what is strange is that people forget the fisherman the bait and the counter, but not the fish. That's what he's talking about. This perhaps shows something big. Some people say that Peter didn't have skepticism to prove Jesus wrong. Maybe so. In verse 5, but because you say so, Peter is only Peter. One details. He's living up to his name in the new sense of the word, right? One because he says it in the next time. Simon is one details and therefore, here we see the glimpse of the wrong faith of people who was willing to submit to that God, even though he could not understand logically. Sometimes it can take journey to the top of the day, even though you think it's too. I just want to get in the stage journey because of the struggle of fear. Jesus looked times it was very demanding. We have some initial skepticism, initial unwillingness, some opposition even. That's what happened to me when Jesus taught me to be Christian, to become Christian ministry. Take me to the one where you're required to be. I wasn't telling people, I heard that I didn't make it. If Jesus is speaking and we are sure of it, let's learn to the field. Let's learn to say what Peter said in the first time. Because you change things, we'll do that. This is in different aspect. Next week, we will look at Peter walking out on water because that's what Jesus told him to do. Now, come out of the boat, Peter. And Peter heard the command, but he came out. Then he knew the story. So, you look at the definition that sometimes hearing Jesus' voice is stepping up faith. Hey, do you look at that and say, okay. When they had done so, they caught up a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in order to catch them. They were closer to the fish. When you leave the place, they were caught in the fish. There were no fish there. Guaranteed no fish. And now it is even daylight. Definitely no fish. They are deep at the bottom of the lake. When nets can never reach. And yet, the result of obedience, the people members. When Simon Peter saw this, he looked at Peter's response to Jesus. He fell on Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the fish they had taken. And he so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Simon said, Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for no one will know. Fish that people should be told." This miracle of catch. He traveled Bunu aşmam için ben düşünüyorum. Ünlü de onu düşünüyorum. Normal. Bu düş. Ben de bakıyorum da İstanbul'da bunu. Nasıl bak? Bir de düşünüyorum. Sağ ol. Earlier, Peter was just treated as master. Look at those five. Master. Master. We have fish all night. Those five. Master. This is a matter of respect. It's just that when I address some my boss, sir, it's a title of respect. But now Jesus, now Peter recognize something more. More. In a sense, you can say master and master are the only subject to be prepared. Second, master does not respect Lord. But now he saw the Lord. But no human being saw. But from them, in a sense, it's kind of a joke that someone the people before. He is Peter is beginning to see that Jesus is the Lord. Out of respect, something more to bless the Lord. The Lord of the fish, the Lord of the fishermen, the Lord of the fish, the Lord then the Lord of the fish. Is the Lord the fish? Second, Peter need a plan of person. That is the spiritual element of now Peter. The greatest spiritual element. Firstly, when Simon Peter saw this, his new name has been mentioned. Simon Peter. He's not Simon Peter. He's Simon Peter. The one who hears God and believes. He felt like Jesus knew and said, go away from me, Lord. It's not. This is the proper response from all of us to our God. The nearer you are to God, the clearer you must see how sinful you are. You see, the problem with our is that when we draw near to God, we think we are different with Jesus. We need to learn to be like Isaiah in Isaiah 6. Glory is me. And we see the glorious holy God. Your intimacy with God must shine. The light of Christ must shine on you. Own sinfulness to make us realize the total unworthiness. If you recognize how sinful you are, then you recognize how unworthy you are to be in God's presence. And that is the response of Peter, which is also the response of Isaiah and Isaiah 6. Peter asks Jesus to go away. Because we have a sense of total unworthiness. This is where I think we will ask ourselves whether or not we are drawing closer to Jesus. Because the closer you come to Jesus, you must realize unworthiness. We are so glad that Jesus did not go away. It is precisely for people like us that people come to Jesus. The more you say go away, recognizing your sense of unworthiness, the more Jesus will. That is the beauty of the. Luke chapter 5, verse 31, at the end of this episode, Jesus says, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. attempt to call those who have thought, attempt to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. And this is a good position to be in. The more you see how to do it, that's what we can do. And Jesus said to Simon, in response to him, Simon responded to him, Jesus responded, okay. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, we will fish for people. In the ESV, you will be fishing men. What I want you to know is that the Greek word there for fish is a way to catch a fish. It is a word that for fishing, but it's a word for fishing to catch a fish. You must understand what's happening here. As a fisherman, the fish that people caught will die to become fish for people. Right? You want to eat a swimming fish. You can't. Fish have to, the moment a fish is caught in the time. But the word there, catching men, fish for people, the people that people is to catch. This is what evangelism is. To catch dying men. We already did in sin. Fish simply because of sin. That is what fish can. As we look at Peter's call, two times differently. The reason why I say that this is a part of the different ministry is because of this. So the food reflects. The food of everything. In Matthew chapter 4, they left the nets. Specific. In Luke chapter 5, verse 11, they left. That's why in Matthew chapter 17, I think, but not, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, in Matthew 19, verse 27, in response to them, this man who could not give up his wealth to follow Jesus, he just uttered a cry, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. That was his point. Everything. He left his boats, he left his business, he even, in a sense, left his home. Because when Jesus was delivering himself, everything. And so here we see that in Luke chapter 5, we see the call with our commitment to Jesus. Some of us have arrived at this point or have literally received this God. You may not receive this God to leave everything. But what if it is? This is the instruction that we have. To take chief calls for Jesus to get Peter to follow him where he is. The first call was to believe in John chapter 1. The second call was to follow Jesus as a Christian, as a disciple. But yet, I say, fishermen have been seen. Paul was being baptized to go to the temple. Because this was the first fishermen. From now on, we don't read Peter's continuity from the passage. We will see from Luke chapter 5 onwards, Gracias.